Hey, thanks so much for listening to the Ridge Community Church podcast. My name is John. I'm one of the pastors on staff at the Ridge, and our vision is to bring the hope of Jesus into every home. So as a piece of that, our goal each week is to bring you something that's hopeful and helpful. So subscribe to this podcast to make sure you don't miss any hopeful and helpful conversations. Hey everyone, and thanks for listening to this episode of the Ridge Podcast. If you find today's episode hopeful and helpful, then please follow or subscribe, and then rate and review so that more people can find the conversation. If you're watching this on YouTube, be sure to give us a follow and turn on notifications so that you don't miss any conversations. Now today, I get to share with you what I think is just a really practical conversation about how to tell people that Jesus changed your life. In this episode, our Greenfield campus pastor, Tyler Volkers, joins me to talk about how we can do that. And what I love about this conversation is that he does not come from this place of like a faith checklist perspective or a seeing a person as something to fix perspective, but instead something that I think is way healthier. I'll let him describe it to you, but this is my conversation with Tyler. Hey, Tyler, thanks for coming on the podcast.
John, thanks for having me back, man. I'm excited to be here and just grateful for anyone who's taking some time to listen. We're going to talk about some helpful and fun and important things today.
Yeah, man, I love it. I always love having a conversation with you. I love the, you always bring this like, and now I'm setting you up well, you always bring this great like practical side with this like, I always feel like I walk away from our podcast conversations. I'm like, oh, that was really good. And I feel like there's some really tangible stuff to do. So setting you up there for some more of that.
John, you're violating a standard. You're setting the bar high. I like to set the bar very low because when you have low expectations, you can definitely exceed them. But no, hopefully what we'll do today will be helpful for everyone.
Yeah, man. Well, maybe start off. How are you doing? How are things going?
Man, things are good. But just like, you and I were just kind of talking before we jumped in the recording. And I know Jody mentioned this in her time last week. People are dealing with some heavy stuff, and I won't go into some details right now, but we're just hearing kind of a lot of just challenges that I know people who call the Ridge their home personally got some things going on with some friends and some family members. And I just say that just because I think to be authentic like that actually can set up where we're going to go in our conversation, where we're just kind of be real. And so I'm good. I mean, nothing I would say is like wrong, but I mean, there's a weight that I'm feeling with for some people, which is kind of increase in fatigue. But overall, man, I mean, God still is good and is moving, but feeling the weight of some people right now.
Is that a challenging thing as like a church leader, as a pastor to, you know, there is like, people ask you how you're doing and there's like the standard, like, hey, how you doing? It's like, there's that always that temptation of like, I don't know if I want to bring people into this, or I don't know if I want to just, you know, sugarcoat it, or obviously maybe it depends on how they're actually asking you it. But two, like you said, that like, authenticity of like, well, sometimes it's not always good.
Well, I think when you talk about a leader, Craig Rochelle, who's a leader who I respect a ton, always says, hey, you want to follow a leader who's always real, the one who's always right. And so, I'll just say right now, hey, some things are just kind of like a little heavy right now for some people. I'm just going to be real. And I think people can actually gravitate, can connect with that, as opposed to someone who can authentic or, you know, not authentically say, yeah, everything's fine, no matter what, you know, and there's like a fire going behind them, you know, like, because we could, I know we're going to talk about how to talk about Jesus. We can talk about how we follow Jesus in the good times as well as the not so good times. And I find people find that helpful.
Yeah, man, you set that up for us. I want to start us off maybe just asking the overall question that I imagine a lot of people wrestle with, which is like, just the general ideas we're talking to, like, hey, how do you talk about your own faith story and stuff that you've kind of walked with Jesus through? Like, do you think people are actually like interested? Do they actually care about your faith story? Like, what are your thoughts on that?
I don't think people would be interested in me and my story until I genuinely show them that I'm interested in them and their story. And so I think whenever someone says, hey, I'm going to make it my mission and my goal to talk about Jesus and to share the hope with them, that's a noble goal. And I would want anyone who's a follower of Jesus to want that for people. I mean, we've experienced the hope of Jesus. Our vision as a church is to bring the hope of Jesus into every home. So very, very important that we do that. However, we don't want to do this in a way that comes off as projecty and turn people into projects and, hey, you know, I'm just going to go ahead and, you know, check that one off, share that. But really, people know that they matter to you, honestly, when they matter to you. And so, yeah. In order for, you know, the ones that I'm thinking about, some different friends and family members in my life, none of them have came out and said, right when the first way said, hey, you know, tell me about, you know, why you go to church or why you're a follower of Jesus or all of that. It's honestly taken me some time and effort to just genuinely care for them. And a way that you care for them is you're interested in them. You ask them questions about their story first.
Yeah, I think that's so good. I don't know about you, but I've definitely had conversations with people, and hopefully people haven't felt this way about me, but you know, we're all human, right? Where it's like, and it doesn't even necessarily just faith, but like, it almost feels as though you're talking with somebody and they're not interested unless they're the one who's talking and sharing. Mm-hmm. And that is like a very, I don't know if I would say frustrating thing, but it definitely does not make you, it makes you care about what they're actually saying so much less.
Yeah. Well, John, I think from learning, and then also learning from our master teacher, Jesus, we learn best through self-discovery. And so rather than just having someone just, you know, tell you everything like, hey, here's what you need to believe. But just some great questions of, hey, what do you think about that? Or if someone says, yeah, I didn't grow up to church. Okay. Or, you know, I went to church when I was younger and I walked away. Well, tell me a little bit about your experience that way. And then they'll start sharing that out loud. I mean, that's what we see Jesus do. I mean, Jesus just asks questions all the time, and then people are responding. He say, what do you want me to do for you? Do you want to get well? You know, and so when we follow that lead and just genuinely get interested in people, and here's the thing, and this isn't a bad thing, people are most interested in themselves. And so when you ask them questions to talk about themselves, their trust factor in you is going to go up. And so I always want to be more interested than interesting. I'm not a real interesting guy anyway. So, I mean, I always want to just like start the conversations by asking people to tell me about themselves.
I think that is such good advice. I mean, because you're right. People want to share. I think that comes down to that deep sense of like wanting to feel known and seen and connected with people. And I think that's just like general, I mean, that's good friendship advice, but I think that's also really good advice when we talk this lens of like, okay, do people care about your story? Well, I love that you started off with like, well, they do if you actually care about theirs first. That's such powerful advice.
Well, John, you mentioned like, hey, that's helpful friendship advice. Honestly, that's my goal for you. If we look at the life of Jesus, and I might be kind of dropping a little much Bible in the beginning here, but what was the one... But what was the one thing that he was accused of by the religious leaders that we'd say, yeah, he actually was. He was a friend of sinners. He hung out with people and he ate and he drank with them. And that's what I want for followers of Jesus, is to build genuine friendships with those who aren't followers of Jesus for the goal of a friendship where you care about them. And as a result, that can lead to a spot where you are maybe going to share why Jesus matters to you. You're just introducing two people you care about to one another.
Dude, that's really good. And you know what? I'll put in the show notes, we can link some conversations that I don't know if we've had them, but I know we've had them as a staff and in the podcast before about, well, hey, how do you go about just like building those friendships and things like that?
Yeah.
But let's say for the sake of our conversation, you have that relationship, you're connected, you generally are interested in their story, and you've gotten to that point. Is there a reason why I would start to share my faith story with someone? Like why would I want to even do that in the first place?
Yeah. I think there's a couple things that you'd want to pay attention to. One is they may even ask you about church and why you'd want to go. And so then, or why do you follow Jesus? Because you know, that friendship's just been built. Like, and I've had instances where friends have asked me, Hey, how's it going? You know? And so, that may be one. And then another time, maybe, you know, as they're going through some tough times, like we talked about earlier in the season, you know, this podcast, they're going through a season. You can offer insight into a season by how Jesus has carried you through a season. And it can just be a short, simple sentence or phrase, but you start to ask them or share that, and then they may even want to reply and talk more about what that means.
Dude, I love that. Cause I love both of those parts. Cause you're like, you're coming at it from this angle of, okay, this isn't my checklist. This isn't like I'm doing my Christian job. Mm-hmm. You know, this is, gosh, I care about them. I want something for them. I want their life to be better. And so if they're in a situation where that's happening, gosh, I want to be able to offer something to them in a practical, helpful way. Right.
Yeah. I kind of call it, John, and I don't know why I've landed on this analogy, but I've heard this a few times because I'm not a skier by any stretch of the imagination, but I call it that the slalom effect. And and here's what I mean by that. When you see a skier like slalom, you know, from post to post, like they're going with gravity down the hill. So they're following the flow of the natural activity, but there's also some steering that's involved. And so there's times like if I know if I'm going to be meeting with some friends and, you know, in case if I'm going to go on a run with them or have a meal or hang out at their house, I ask God for wisdom and opportunity before that. Say, God, well, what is it that you want me to share and how do you want me to share it? And just try to pay attention. Now, I'm not perfect on that. There's times I've realized, oh, I missed that opportunity, or maybe I could have said that a little different, but that's like in any relationship. You just like, oh, whoops. But then you just pray for another opportunity. And that's a great thing about a friendship. You're going to hang out and talk again. You're going to text again. You're going to have a time where you can talk about this.
Yeah, that's interesting. Cause I think that that's like, you definitely have to train yourself to look for those opportunities, but also not to be like, I think anxious in that moment. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like this is the one chance I'm ever going to have to talk about that. Right. Like seize the opportunity, but also don't, I hate to say it this way, but like, don't make it like you feel like you're forcing it. You know, like, is that a fair tension?
Very fair. And I think sometimes we put so much pressure on ourselves where we start thinking, well, I need to be able to convince them, you know, about this, and I need to know this, and maybe I don't know all the answers. But what we see throughout scripture and what Jesus called us to do, he didn't call us to be like this you know, person who's going to convince and defend God. Actually, in Acts 1:8, he says, you're going to have the ability to witness, meaning just share what Jesus has done for you.
Yeah.
That's all we're called to do. And then God will take care of the rest. And so relieve yourself of the pressure. If you don't know all the answers, you don't know that's fine. How has Jesus changed you? And you can share that. And you can actually share it. John, we have a way that can help people share that within 15 seconds or less. And
all right, man, give me these 15 seconds. Like, how do you do that? Is that like a what's the method?
so this is a tool that I've been introduced to. I've been trying this out, and it's led to some fascinating conversations, and I can't wait to just continue to teach people how to do this, but very, very simple, and this requires preparation beforehand, but you can even get out a sheet of paper and just kind of divide a couple lines. On the first line, on the left side, just write down two words that maybe described your life before you met Jesus. So, for example, I wrote down, man, I was alone and I was lost. And I was thinking about 15-year-old Tyler, you know, who was invited to church back then. And I just felt alone and I just didn't feel like a sense of direction in my life. So alone and lost. And then you could say, well, then I met Jesus. And then what are two words that came up afterwards? And so with me, I realized, man, Jesus is always with me. And I found I have a purpose. And so, John, for example, I mean, yeah, there was a time in my life I felt alone and completely lost. I didn't know what to do. And then I heard about Jesus. I started committing to following him. And now I realize he's always with me. And I have a sense of purpose in my life. Mm. Hey, do you have a story like that? And it can go just like that. And it can lead to a conversation right about that. So 15 seconds or less.
Dude, would I... Man, I don't want to dissect that here, but maybe I will. There's so many things I love about that. And like one quick thing is that it's not like you're not trying to trick anyone or like debate them or like, you know, I've heard people share their witness stories, and I'm sure these have been helpful in different settings and things like that. But it's almost like this gotcha. Like I said this and then they said that. And then I had this perfectly crafted, you know, 10-point thesis on why following Jesus is the right thing. And it always came across to me as like very,
almost scripted. Right. Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah. Almost scripted. Yeah.
Yeah. And sharing it like that says, hey, this is why it's important to me. I'm not overwhelming you with this story, but if that's interesting to you, or I want to hear your version of that, then you're right. It creates a conversation where you're like actual friends talking about an actual thing that mattered versus like, I am delivering to you my speech. You know what I mean?
Right. Right. Absolutely. And I mean, it's as simple as, you know, we get this example actually found us in John chapter 9, when you had this blind man that was healed by Jesus. And he's just getting grilled by all these religious leaders, like, tell us this, tell us this. And he just even said, I don't know. I don't know.
Yeah.
But here's what I know. I was blind, but now I see. I was alone, but now I know that God is with me. And we all have a story like that. And we can boil it down to that 15 second or less, because no one wants to hear a long, long monologue at that point. But if it's intriguing to them, they may ask questions. So I was talking to a guy, and he was newer to the Ridge. So he was in the lobby, and he used this phrase. He's like, man, I just lost my zest for life. And he was just kind of curious. And I shared that story with him. I said, man, there was a time where I felt lost without purpose. And then I started, following Jesus. And I felt like Jesus gave me that purpose for my life. And I'd love for you to have a story like that. Do you want to have a story like that? And he's like, yeah, that's why I'm here at church. He's starting to investigate and starting to explore who Jesus is. And so I found with trying those stories, even in some simple text messages with some people, it's led to more fruitful conversations about Jesus.
And you don't have to describe the scenarios in which these were happening, but I'm curious your process for honing in on those two words, right? So if I was, I'm doing this exercise and I'm like, hey man, I don't know what my words before and after would be. Is there any strategies that you use? You advise people maybe you can arrive on it by doing this.
Yeah, I would encourage you to just reflect on your story. And so when was that decision that you made? When was that time you made the decision to follow Jesus? For me, I was a teenager in high school when it really, that was when I really made that. And so think back, well, what were those circumstances? And be honest with yourself and say, okay, and what were those two words? I shared this exercise with my Ridge group the other day, and I just had one guy immediately, I was like, man, I was broken, And he's like, man, and it was just very genuine. I was broken, and now God has restored me. And so they're starting to share that story a little bit more. And then what's immediate, hey, tell me more about that. What does that mean? And what was just fascinating was just even thinking through those lenses and hey, what would be two words that you could describe? And those words may change over time. That's okay. Yeah. But as long as it's genuine and honest and it's you, and you can share that. And then what I was taught was always that follow-up question. Hey, do you have a story like that? Invites them for conversation. It shows again that you're interested in them and what could happen for them after hearing that story.
Do you have any thoughts on, I don't want to say words you don't want to use, but is it important to make those words you pick approachable? I'm just thinking through the lens of thinking through my story, and I would want to make sure that I didn't use very, I'll call them church-based answers, right? Okay. And then I was, then I experienced salvation or something like that, which maybe is biblically accurate, but that's not necessarily helpful for somebody hearing it.
Yeah. I would lean towards words that are fairly clear and helpful, especially in a succinct statement like that. One person was like, man, I was dead and I was brought to life. But then he even said in that moment, man, I was dead, but I was, suicidal, addicted to drugs. And then Jesus brought me to life and showed me, what this life is. And just in that statement, it's like, I want to learn a little bit more about that. What's happening? So,
That causes you to lean in and be like, okay, so this is real. I think that's what I'm getting from you is this is a real impact. It's not a, I don't know. It's not saying, oh, I follow Jesus because it's the truth.
Right.
You know what I mean? Which is okay, well, once again, okay,
yeah,
fair.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that's actually showcasing the life change. Why actually following Jesus mattered to you.
Yeah.
Do you feel like your understanding of, because you mentioned this is kind of a newer thing. Do you feel like your understanding of how to go through some of this process has kind of evolved and changed over the years?
Over the years, definitely. I think what I learned early on as a follower of Jesus was, hey, as followers of Jesus, we should share our faith. That's something we should do. And I was taught, different tools and different things to try to stir up conversations with people. And I would do it, and they wouldn't go over very well for a number of reasons. One, I was kind of forcing the conversations, and I wasn't super interested in these people that I was meeting. And so then I see a negative reaction from that. And then I'd start thinking, well, maybe I need to just tone it down and mm-hmm. and not talk about it. And for a number of years, that was it. I was almost too shy, where I'm like, hey, I'll love and serve people super well, you know, and I did. And, you know, like, hey, you know, so it was probably like the, hey, Tyler's the really good neighbor who's always serving us and helping out or whatnot. But now it's kind of like the, well, why wouldn't I talk about this in our relationships because of my level, how much I care for you and how much the difference that Jesus has made. So it's kind of the returning to, hey, let's be bold. But as we've talked about it, boldness isn't weirdness. Mm-hmm. Boldness is just being confident and sharing, hey, this is the difference Jesus made in my life. And because I care about you so much, I'll share it. But I'll share it in a way that I'm perceiving you ready to receive it.
Yeah. I think a cool side effect of this too, seems at least to me, is that it does give you a chance to kind of reflect on the actual impact Jesus has made in your life.
Oh, absolutely. You know,
where it's not just, you know, I mean, it's not just a day-to-day. It's not just like a, mm-hmm. oh yeah, I follow Jesus. But it's like a, no, what is the tangible, like, what is the hope that you've experienced mm-hmm. from following Jesus? Mm-hmm. So I love that.
Yeah. Yeah. If we're afraid to do that or shy to do that, or just frankly don't want to do it, I would almost wonder, how much are you grasping how much God really loves you? Mm. And I want you just to sit in that because God does. And God loves you so much that he gave his only son. I mean, I said, man, I don't know if I feel worthy. Like early in high school, I just felt like I had to get approval. And then I learned that Jesus said I was already worth it. And so that was a lot of the reason why I made the decision to follow him. When we realize how much God loves us, then this isn't something we have to do. It's something we have to do, but it's a very different motivation. It's the, man, I have to share this with you because I care about you so much.
I can't afford my friend not to experience this. Right. Almost that mentality. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's so interesting. Back in the student ministry days, I would talk about, it's kind of like when you see you watch a movie mm-hmm. or something mm-hmm. and you're like, wow, that's like my new favorite movie. What do you do with your buddies? You're telling mm-hmm. them about the movie you saw. You know, it's just like this outflowing of this excitement. And so mm-hmm. I do think that is a cool like opportunity for reflection. But you mentioned something about like following up on your story asking with a question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
How, like, say somebody, you ask them that question, the conversation's going back and forth. How do you know how much to share of your story versus like, what's the right time to share certain parts of it? Like, mm-hmm. what's that balance? Or is that just like, God, give me wisdom because I don't know?
I think there's definitely a wisdom asking from God and trying to feel what's the genuine openness of this person. You know, we've talked a little bit in the past, like thresholds. And John, I know we have a lot of tools on your one page. And so I know we'll link to that. But there's some friendships that I'm just honestly, genuinely trying to build a friendship where I know that they can trust me. Yeah. And so at that point, I'm just trying to love and serve in a way that they can trust. And then as things happen and things progress and these friendships develop, I just pray for the right opportunities to share that and to help start doing some below the surface type questions. So I think we all kind of know, like in friendships, the surface level things, and, you know, talk about, you know, things that we like and bands that we like and sports and all that stuff. But then there's going to be opportunities that may present themselves. You can ask, hey, tell me a little bit more about that. Or how did you feel about that? And those, when you start getting into those layers, then I think it's going to be some times where you can start sharing that.
Do you ever follow up and ask like, hey man, what do you think about that? Like you share some of your faith stuff and your faith thoughts and like, mm-hmm. hey, Jesus did this for me. I don't know. What do you think about that? What are you hearing from me? Is this, you know, mm-hmm. is this track? Like, I don't know. What does that look like?
Yeah. I'll ask those follow-up questions often. Like, hey, what are you hearing? You know, what do you think? Hey, do you ever have a time like that? Yeah. And just let them respond and maybe they're there. Maybe they aren't there yet. Maybe like, I don't know. And And we don't want to force it. Don't force them. I think let the door be open. I was talking with an individual, and I'll keep it very private, you know, because I want to honor the individual, who is very investigating faith, and even said, "Yeah, there's a day I'm probably going to make this decision." Mm. And I'm like, "Well, what's keeping you from doing that like right now?"
Yeah.
And it was genuinely curious. And and this person is talking about some steps that this person wants to continue to investigate now. In my heart, I'm like, man, this person needs to make this decision. Like, let's do it right now. Like right now. But I couldn't force it. And so it's like, he's like, you know, hey, I just want to take these steps and just do, okay. Well, hey, when you're ready, we're ready. But the old me would have probably forced it in a way that would have caused some damage. would probably have said some things that I'm like, hey, I know that's right, but probably would have ended up regretting.
Yeah. Well, it sounds like the thought process is like, okay, like I want them to make that decision. Once again, I'm gonna go back like for them. Like I want them to like do what's right for them and their journey, not so that I get this, you know, not for me. And it'd be so cool if you did it right now.
Yeah.
And obviously there's a lot that goes into that, but
yeah.
Hey, I'm curious. We're heading into a time of year. That's kind of a, like, there's so much, there's kind of two, I think, big points of the year where there is kind of big faith elements around them, right? There's Christmas.
Yeah.
And the other big one is Easter, you know, and it's becoming, there's an element that's becoming, I think, less so for certain, in certain ways, but it does open the door, I think, for interesting conversations about faith. So I don't know, what would your encouragement to us be as we go into like a time of year, Easter, where kind of their faith elements are part more of like the culture?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, and you just said it, John. Easter and Christmas are just for whatever reason, thankfully in our culture today, two times of the year that faith and culture just seem to intersect, where it's a lot more natural to just talk about. You know, and so maybe for friends who aren't yet following Jesus, you know, it may not necessarily be going to church as their plans, but they're going to go to Easter egg hunts. They're going to, you know, celebrate. They're going to buy all the things, eat all of the peanut butter eggs. I mean, yes. So what it does is it allows us another opportunity that I think, as followers of Jesus, we should get more bold with our invites because of the opportunity, because there's just a higher level of openness this time of year than maybe throughout the rest of the time of the year. And so this is a time of year that I would actually be a little bit more bold in just saying, hey, are you doing anything for Easter? Would love to have you join us for a service this Easter if you'd like to come. Share an invite, tell them why they'd want to come, and just extend the invite out.
You know, man, I know there are certain people, they hear that and like, totally done. I'm going to do it. I'm inviting everybody. And there's another group that's like, yeah, I don't want to be weird. You know, I don't want to do it in a weird way. I don't want that friendship to, is there, I don't know. Do you have any advice for how to not be weird as you're making that invite?
Yeah. Some people probably just call me weird just naturally, but, here's what I do. I try to just leave the invite out with them. I just started asking, hey, you know, you guys do anything for Easter? And they may tell us the plans. And then and a lot of times I'll often ask, well, what are you doing? And then say, are you seeing family, whatever? And I said, yeah, but you know, but we're also gonna spend our time at our church and love our church. And then here are the fun things that are actually gonna be happening. You know, we're in the photo booth, the Rich Kids area is gonna be awesome. Good message, great band. I think it's gonna be a lot of fun. Would love to have your family join us if you'd be open to joining us. Think you'd have a great time. And give them an invite. Often at Christmas, my wife will often make like cookies and we'll like visit them at their doors and kind of like at least bless them with cookies and a Christmas invite. But Easter, you know, you have that simple invite like that as well. And then just tell them, hey, yeah, here's where we're going. Here's the service options. Hopefully there's something that would definitely work for you. If there is one that works better for you, let us know. We'll adjust our plans and we'll be there with you.
Dude, I think you hit two key things in that. One is like, you know, some of the stuff that's happening at the Ridge and you're sharing that, you know, it's not like a blanket, like person has no idea what they're going into. You know, I think that's one of the cool things. Great. We also have online services so they can, hey, and if you, before you come, if you want to take a peek about like what the vibe is like at the Ridge. You can do that here. Mm-hmm. But then too, like you're saying, hey, I'll be there with you. I'm not just like throwing out an invite to not, you know, to not join you. Mm-hmm. And so having a familiar face, I know Forrest always talks about, meeting him in the lobby, mm-hmm. you know, and being like, hey, I'll essentially be your guide. Right. Yep. And I think the cool thing about that, and I know that kind of holiday and Easter can be a little bit crazy because you got the fam there and, I'm sure you got kiddos that are mm-hmm. running around you and you're trying to get them in the right spots. And, they're probably hyped up on a little bit of, peep sugar.
Yeah.
Maybe not for you, Tyler.
Butter eggs all day.
You
all
hate
day.
Peeps.
I do.
But there's something so disarming about when you're in an unfamiliar place to be with somebody that you know, mm-hmm. right?
Well, and that's even if you know the relational networks, like there's some people I know who aren't coming, but I also know some friends that are praying for them as well that are apart. Mm-hmm. And so then it can be the reminder of, hey, and I know so-and-so is going to be there and, you know, their kid's usually there. And, mm-hmm. and so you kind of prep some of that stuff beforehand, which is the beauty of being, you know, and Forrest and I talk about this a lot, why we have local campuses. And so we know families in our local communities that you can point others to and you get to know each other and you're like, oh, okay. It's not such a big thing. You know, there are people that I know and can connect with too as well.
Yeah. Dude, I love it. Tyler, thank you so much for sharing. I guess right before we go, is there any other things that you're hoping to share? Or as we talk about this idea of being able to just tell people how Jesus changed your life.
Yeah, I think the main thing that I would want to really reiterate with people before you jump into saying, hey, I'm going to share this is, does your heart just gravitate towards these individuals? Meaning, I would encourage you to just ask God to see that person as you see them and have that genuine heart for them. Because, I mean, here's how we know God's heart is. In Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells the three different stories in a row to make the same point. It's the only time he ever does it to say, hey, I'm going to leave those who already know me to go find the one that's lost. Mm-hmm. And these are the individuals we care about. Like, are our hearts in line with God's heart? And if our heart is for them, inviting, talking about this is going to come very natural because we care about them and we want to serve them. If it's not, then you know, they'll see it as, hey, this is a project that's a have to do, or maybe you don't care that way. And so, do the heart work and then do the work to invite. And what's great is your experience at Easter will be completely different in a really good way if they come, because you'll start seeing things through their eyes and you're like, oh man, here's how God's working. And God will grow your faith, when you do that.
And thank you so much. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for taking some time to like just give us some good advice and coaching. I'm excited to try out this 15-second story thing myself. So thanks for
Let me know how it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll let you know. Thanks, man.
All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks for listening.
Well, that was my conversation with Tyler, and I hope that you'll give Tyler's 15-second method a try. Pick two words about how you would describe yourself and your life before Jesus, and two words about after that. And then ask God for a chance to put that into practice. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Ridge Podcast. Make sure to follow and subscribe so that you don't miss any hopeful and helpful conversations.